When people gather in a public place as part of an organized protest, emotions often run high. That's true for both the protesters and the police officers who are there to maintain order, says Nick Adams. But it is usually the cops who determine what happens next, depending on how they approach the situation.
Not only do they have these big weapons and assault vehicles, they also can show up in their regular uniforms and intermingle with the crowd and behave as citizens, just like the citizens who are protesting. So they have a big range to draw on when they're trying to decide how to react.
Adams is the principal investigator for the Deciding Force Project at UC Berkeley, which has been collecting and analyzing some 8,000 reports on how different local police forces dealt with Occupy protests across the country in 2011.
The Occupy movement spawned about 200 different encampments across the United States, all with relatively similar goals and tactics. So it was a perfect opportunity for comparison.
Their study is ongoing, but Adams says some preliminary conclusions are already clear. One is that the deployment of armored vehicles, riot gear, and heavy weaponry will elicit predictable reactions.
Those things tend to have three different effects on crowds. They intimidate some people and send them home. They make others defensive and edgy so that they can easily get involved in an interaction that leads towards violence. And then they make some of the protesters just straight up angry that their fellow citizens, police officers, who are supposed to protect their First Amendment rights, are in fact gearing up for some sort of warfare with the crowd.
Another finding is the clear downside to early deployment of intimidating tactics.
When a city or a police department starts off with a very strong, forceful reaction, they take a lot of tools out of their toolkit, and it's really hard to walk back from that style of interaction. One thing we definitely see in our data is a recommendation to police that you can always ramp up. It's really hard to ramp back down and regain the trust of your community if you go too far, too fast in the direction of use of force.
That's old news to Mary Moore, who has organized and participated in scores of demonstrations reaching back to the 1970s. But she observes that two other important factors are also involved.
For me, from what I've observed over 79 years, race and class are the two key issues in terms of police response to any kind of demonstration.
In many cases, she notes, aggressive tactics only inflame a deep-rooted wariness and distrust of police.
The problem is you aren't just rebuilding after one incident. Their reality is that this has been the way it is from the time they were born. And they talk to other family members who have experienced it. So in the black and brown communities, that just goes with the territory. So you're not just responding to whatever the latest incident is. You're responding to a whole lifetime of perception.
There are alternatives. Nick Adams says they're working for police in such large cities as Chicago and Los Angeles.
They would have 200 officers show up to a march just like any other city would. But they would have the police intermingle with the crowd in groups of two or three. And this sets up a different sort of interactional dynamic between the police and the protesters. And to the extent that some faction of the protest movement is engaging in property destruction, the police can actually form up and isolate that group.
Those rogue elements, adds Mary Moore, are often outsiders, unwelcome to the community seeking to have its voice heard. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.